Thank you for joining me for another week of broadcasting and podcasting as we meet together coast to coast on the broadcast and around the world on the podcast. I'm glad you are here. And I want to pray for us as we begin together on a Monday. Our loving and good Heavenly Father, we praise you and give you thanks for another day of life. We're glad that we can meet together around our radios and whatever piece of technology transmits this podcast. It's a blessing that we can redeem the internet such that we can hear Bible teaching at any time and in any place with such connectivity all around your world. I pray that rather than using the internet for sin, we will use it to honor and praise you, to please you. I'm grateful for all of the other ministries that are heard on these airwaves, which preach and teach the good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen them. Empower them by your Holy Spirit and draw people who do not yet worship you to Christ this day and every day. Father, as we come down the home stretch and make our way to the end of the first chapter of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, illuminate your word in our minds and hearts and help us to apply it to our hands and feet as we move throughout the world today and tonight, constantly in proximity to other people who you love and for whom Christ has died and been resurrected. Help us not to be here just for information, but rather for transformation, to have you change us, and then to have you empower us to tell others in word and deed the gospel. I pray that you will give me wisdom and discernment as this week I attempt to finish Revelation 1. Protect me from the evil one. Help me to be clear. Assist me to properly interpret and understand these awesome verses and eliminate any distractions that these listeners have. Help them to be attentive to you. This is all about you, Lord. So humble us in your presence at this hour. In the name of Jesus, our Savior from sin and our returning King. Amen. As I said in my prayer, this is our last week together in Revelation chapter 1. At least, I think it is. We'll see how far we get. But can you believe it? Well, some of you want more. You kind of do not want this to end. And others of you are like, good, finally, when will he move on? I do not listen every day, but it seems like every time I tune in, he's stuck on Revelation 1. My goodness, does he know anything else about God? And doesn't this guy know that my attention span is short? There's so much more to the Bible. Let's go, Swallow. Move on. I hear you, and I understand that we live in a time when everything seems to be instant, when we are in constant motion, and there's too much information coming at us for our brains to process. And so your preference is that I use this time to move more quickly through the Bible. You've gotten used to quick, speedy, instant, immediate, and you are now easily bored. But it is my ongoing conviction that when it comes to learning who God is, we must move far more intentionally. The Bible is our true source for telling us who God is, and so we must plumb its depths by paying close attention to detail. With precision drilling bearing down beneath the surface of the words, we come to clarify what the Bible means by what it says. This cannot be done so quickly. If you want speedy overviews, there are many ministries on the radio and online that will offer that to you. But here on God Is, we'll go deeper before we go wider. We'll read the Bible as it is written, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, rather than always topically. Of course, as is the case here in Revelation 1, we do have a question before us. What does God look like? But in order to answer that, I've chosen an entire chapter, and I've been systematically walking us through it. I want to provide you daily some depth without overwhelming you. And I really pray this helps and encourages you. I pray that you will learn who God truthfully is alongside me. You know, we're in this together, you and me, and everyone who is tuning in to God Is. Still, we are going to move on, and I will tell you more about what's next soon. But first, let's deal with verses 17 through 18 of Revelation 1 as this week begins. And to do that, let me reread to you the text. This is Revelation 1, verses 17 and 18. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. When we left off on Friday, I said that what the Apostle John does in these verses is to describe for us his reaction to what he has seen and heard in the preceding verses. And notice that in response to the exalted Christ Jesus, John falls down at the Lord's feet like a dead man. John is afraid. He is very afraid. John has fallen to his feet like a dead man. And here our brother in Christ, John the Apostle, expresses fear. And by fear, I mean a reverential awe of the living God. Reverential awe. This is the highest level of respect we give to God. And we searched the scriptures in both the Old and New Testaments and saw that whenever men had a vision of heaven and of the Lord, they all did what John did. They fell down like they were dead. Their faces were smack dab against the ground, and all of them had such reverential awe that they hit the ground dead-like. So John's response is in keeping with how others responded to the awesome glory of God. But look and listen to what Jesus does, what action he takes when John falls down dead-like. The second half of verse 17 says, And he, Jesus, placed his right hand on me, saying, Do not be afraid. When the Apostle John falls at the exalted Christ's feet, Jesus shows him compassion, and out of his love for John, places his right hand directly on John and says, Do not be afraid. What pure, beautiful, merciful, and sweet words these are from Jesus to John. And you'll remember it if you know the Gospels, that this is certainly not the first time that John has been touched by Jesus and heard Jesus say to him, Do not be afraid. Come with me, if you can at the moment, to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 14. In this chapter, John, yes, the same John who has the vision of the revelation, is during the earthly ministry of Christ out in the sea on a boat with the other disciples when really bad weather overtakes them. Jesus, meanwhile, was back on the shore up on the mountain by himself in prayer. I'll pick up the reading at verse 24. This is Matthew chapter 14 and verses 24 down through verse 27. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, It is a ghost! And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.
That's incredible. But I want you to notice what it says to the terrified disciples. First, Jesus says, It is I. And second, Jesus says, Do not be afraid. And this is precisely what Jesus then reiterates to the same disciple John all the way over in Revelation 1 at verse 17. In Matthew 14, 27, Jesus says, It is I, do not be afraid. And in Revelation 1, 17, Jesus says, Do not be afraid, I am. It is I matches I am, and do not be afraid, of course, matches do not be afraid. And please remember, this same John heard this same Jesus say both. And in the first instance in Matthew, Jesus is engaged in his earthly ministry. In the second instance in Revelation, Jesus is engaged in his heavenly ministry. And the response to his willing slave, John, is the same. It is I am. Do not be afraid. Now, this is important. Stick with me. When Jesus says, It is I, and when Jesus says, I am, what Jesus means is, I am God. He speaks here of his divinity. Therefore, the assurance and comfort Jesus gives John comes from God himself. That is right, the one true and everlasting God who deeply and sincerely loves his people, the disciples of Jesus, comes to us and he says with clarity, It is I am. Do not be afraid. Oh, how much you need to hear this today. Are you a willing slave of Christ, his disciple and his follower, and yet you're struggling in a storm of life with fear?
You are afraid. Perhaps you're very afraid. Well, then Jesus comes to you as God and says, stop being afraid. It is I am. As we will see later this week, this only applies to Christians, for people who reject Christ, for people who will not submit themselves to him, love him, worship him, and obey his commands. He is not saying to them, do not be afraid. But for the Christ follower, he is extending to us his right hand, and with divine authority, can you hear him say to your troubled soul, it is I am, do not be afraid. And then in Revelation, Jesus uses his right hand and touches John. This is not the first time Jesus touched a frightened John. Again in Matthew's gospel, we come to chapter 17. Matthew 17. And at the start of this chapter, we have the description of the transfiguration of Christ. I will let you read that on your own, but John is one of three disciples at this transfiguration. That is the total transformation of Christ into Christ's heavenly glory. This was a dramatic, brief change of appearance for Jesus. And when the disciples saw it and heard the voice of God, the Father, verses 6 through 7 of Matthew 17 reads, when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, get up, and do not be afraid. Notice in this text, Matthew 17, that Jesus touched them, just as in Revelation 1, verse 17, when Jesus touched John. So the words and the touch are consistent. In Matthew, John met the humiliated Christ. And in Revelation, John met the exalted Christ. And this same Jesus responded to John the same way. Tomorrow, we will find out the deep meaning of what else Jesus says to John in this verse. So you do not want to miss it. Please join me tomorrow, for God is...